Je n'ai pas peur de la route, faudra voir, faut qu'on écoute des méandres creux des reins, et tout ira bien loin. Le vent nous portera. Ton message à la grande eau, c'est la trajectoire de la course à l'instantané, le vélo, même s'il ne sert à rien. Le vent l'emportera, tout disparaîtra. Le vent l'emportera. La caresse et la mitraille, cette plaie qui nous tiraille, le palais des autres jours d'hier et demain. Le vent les portera. Génétique en bandoulière, des chromosomes dans l'atmosphère, des taxis pour les galaxies et mon tapis. Emportera, tout disparaîtra.
Well, hello everybody. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good night. It is Sunday, May the 25th, 2025. This is the Fakeologist Show. I'm coming to you from the north shore of Lake Ontarible in Toronto, Ontarible, Canada. And we've been doing this show since 2012. Can you believe that? And this is show... Oh, goodness, I didn't even update the title yet. Let me just update the title. I've been kind of distracted over the last couple days with technical issues. I guess everyone deals with technical issues every single minute of every single day. I'm sure, actually, that everyone has these issues. I'm just lucky that I like this kind of stuff. I like a challenge, and I don't get upset by it, but I can imagine it must just really frustrate the average person who doesn't like technology, because it is frustrating, even for me. Very, very frustrating and time-consuming. Anyway, I'll get back to that in a minute. We're listening to a Noir Désir, Le Vent Nous Portera. And my French sucks, so I can barely understand what that means. But we have a special guest, a special returning guest, who is coming from France, and that's why we played a French rock band type song. And that is Unreal, all the way from South France in Europe. And that's why we're starting at this time of the day, excuse me, as opposed to my 8 p.m. normal start time. So Unreal, hello.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. Unreal is a good guy in the sense that he's been with the site since the beginning. He knows all the players that have come and have gone, and it's really great to have, even though we've never met in person. I've actually met only one person in 13 years, which isn't a very good track record, I must say. But I consider all these people that I've known for 10 or 12 years, at least acquaintances, if not internet friends. And I think in 2025, that's something that means something. It's, what do you think, Unreal?
Well, yeah, I think it's true. It's been a while since I've been on the Fakeologist website, and it's been a long journey for me. I've also been talking with other Fakeologists on the live chats and with you on the streams, and it's made my conspiracy outlook more better, I guess. And
yeah, I think it really helps. I think it really helps.
And also the fact that you let your audience participate, and that your forums, they are also open for anybody to contribute with their research. It's also creating some, as you say, a bit of a community. And it's like you had numerous pod children and people that has come to Fakeologist that has since gone along, but they have had Fakeologist as a big part of their journey somehow.
Yeah, I think it's important. I'm just starting to learn about certain securities options in particular on the markets. And one thing I watch, a lot of it's psychological trading. and investing. It's not all just technical. There's a lot of emotional things that actually can screw you up when you're doing your trading or investing. And one thing I listen to as many people as possible, because I don't think any one person has the secret sauce. There probably isn't any secret sauce, but there are some tactics. And he was just saying how important it was to, he traded all alone for 10 years. And then a lot of these guys, they start these groups, sort of like the Fakeologist Network, just so they can talk to other people that know how to trade options. Options are a certain security that you can trade that's, I don't know if it's a growing field, but it's certainly bigger than it was when I started looking at it 30 years ago. And he was just saying how important it was to talk to other people that are doing the same thing, because the average person in this particular trading environment has no idea what you're talking about. And you can't really get any kind of research or synergy or information exchange going if the other person can't speak your language. So it really doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it's Fakeology or trading or anything else that you're specific to, because the average person, they don't know that much. I guess a lot of people know their particular field if they work somewhere, so they know that. But outside of that, most people are pretty uneducated. So I really think having a community like this to just vent out your research and your everyday interactions with the fake media, it actually really helps. That's why I do it.
Yeah, and I think with the internet, it's possible for a very small minority of views as are ours in the Fakeologist community to actually find like-minded people. It's like it would be very hard to find like-minded people in your close surroundings, most probably, if you're not living in like a really big city or something like that. So that's also another advantage with the technology that we connect through now.
Yes, even if you live in a big city, it doesn't help really, because you have to find these people. You're not wandering around with a sign saying, talk to me, I'm a Fakeologist, or talk to me, I'm an options trader, or talk to me, I'm an architect. It just doesn't work that way, does it?
No, that's true. It's I guess the only advantage of being in a big city it would be that you could actually connect in physical in real life with people if they're in your vicinity, which is a higher probability if they live in a big agglomeration somehow.
Yeah, most people, I live in Toronto, it's such a big city that if people live on the east side, they won't come to the west side, or if they live on the north end, they won't come downtown to the south where the big city is. So even in a big city, people don't connect. It's they have a million excuses.
Something very strange is like I was living in Paris for a long while, and if you go from one area of Paris to another, you can spend an hour, you know, in public transport. And now, if I go somewhere in an hour, I can be like in towns far away. You know, I can just take a car and just drive for an hour, and I'll be another place completely. So it's like.
Well, France is huge as well. I don't have that program where you can overlay a country on top of another country, but I think France is.
But I think you must understand that those applications, they are made to for us to be tricked in our mind about the layout of Earth, because Earth is not the size they say it is. So it's like when you do those applications, you get a really false impression about how small Europe is and like how other places are really big. But some of the biggest places in the world is Canada and Russia. Those are humongous. They don't look that big. If you like drag Australia up there, it looks like really big and stuff, but that's not the case in my view. So it's really, you know, with the computer models now, everything that we can verify, it's not a real verification. It's just an insight into the computer model that they have made to trick us. You know, so it's like when we look up sunrise time and sundown times and stuff like that, it's coming from a computer model. It's not any real observation. We can't, you know, it's if you look where you live, you probably see a difference in the model because it's not exact. Because what you see where you live, it's different from what they say in the, should it be in the paper or on the net? It's not exact. That's why before everybody they had noon at their geographic location. You know, that's what how they measured time. So it's really a recent thing that we all have like the same times all over the place. Can you hear me? I'm not sure if you are with us, Ab. I can see my avatar, it's moving, and I think my voice is being heard, but I can't hear.
All right, sorry, I lost my I lost my connection there, which is what I was working on before. Dirty Benny says Ab is buzzing and no audio. Yeah, well, sorry about that. I guess my primary connection is no good, and I was trying to switch the router, but
I am disconnecting it too.
No, I wish it was. I think it is my. My primary connection. I'm on my backup right now, but it takes a minute to switch over. And my router is supposed to switch over automatically, but it doesn't. So I'm getting rid of that one. And I'm going to buy... Well, I went to my backup, but my backup, I tried it before you got on, and I couldn't get it working. So now I got to send that back and get another backup router. So as I was talking about earlier about technology, that I don't know how the average person can figure it out. It's just no good. It's too hard.
Okay. Well, technology clearly works in the favor of those that are in power, you know, and they use it to their advantage. So,
well, like I said, it's really hard for most people to use. So,
and you see how small France is there? It's like that looks improbable, Nelly. But
well, yes, I dragged France on top of where I live. Now Toronto's in the middle of the pink, as you can see here. And this area here that is highlighted is going to be approximately the Great Lakes mega region. So it's going to go from Ottawa over here. That's the capital of Canada. And yeah, I know it's way in the east. Why is it way over there when Canada is so much bigger? And this pink line here would go over here to Chicago. So this pink would go all the way around Lake Michigan. It would include half of Wisconsin, a piece of Illinois, Indiana, all of Michigan, maybe the top half of Ohio, and all the way to Ottawa. This would be a mega region here. This is the Great Lake mega region. There would be 77 million. I think there are 77 million people in this area, which I think is the same population as France.
Yeah, it is.
So this actually is a pretty interesting comparison here. But yeah, I regularly... In my driving, I would be crisscrossing France all day long. That's how far I end up driving. I usually drive all the way around the lakes in my truck. So I would be going across France almost every day. And thanks, Bach Precision. Bach Precision is saying Bell, Ding Dong, where the Bell Canada, where the phone was invented in Canada here. They've been going out all over the place. But the problem is they go out intermittently. So... As their stock is falling into the toilet, so is their service. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. But it's something is happening with these dummies. And I was saying earlier, it had been so reliable for the last year, I never had even a hiccup. And now it just doesn't even stay online.
So just a thought. What if electricity is not expensive to produce, right? So that wouldn't be so interesting for all those people paying so much for their electricity. So when there's problems, they can better understand they have to pay a lot, you know. So it's like it's all part of the game plan to have us all, you know, paying a lot of money for electricity in waiting for having us pay for the air we breathe, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just a it's a kind of a scam, and it's like a as you know, we have free electricity above us in the sky. It's like an endless reservoir of energy, but apparently we can't tap into it.
Well, yeah, I have mixed feelings on that. The whole reason why Toronto, Ontario became very successful industrially is we had a governor that harvested Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. And the whole his whole idea about creating monopoly on electricity production in, where I live in Ontario, was to provide electricity at cost, which was about 1 or 2 cents a kilowatt hour. And because turning a bunch of magnets at a massive waterfall, pretty much you just have to pay for maintenance of the equipment, I would say, because you do have to pay for the wires. So there are some things to pay for, but obviously Niagara Falls is pretty much free. If you think about that, that's just water falling over an edge, turning a turbine. But yeah, I know you said that before, that you could probably just grab electricity out of the air, but the problem would be just to get a very solid current and a consistent current, because it charges up and down probably all day long. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. It's a challenge in any way, but it's a fact that if they were able to provide it for free, they wouldn't. You know, it wouldn't be any economic sense in it. And the reason why they try to have us all on electricity must be because for them it's really profitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, that's why our state controls electricity, and I think they lose money because they pay the people that administer it six figures in salary. So they probably lose money on their production. But I often wonder, because you know, Trump is obviously the person that drives the markets. He drives the media. He drives the news. He has been doing so for his whole life, especially since 2016 when he got in. And even when he was out, he had more of a audience than whatever the president was named Biden in there. And he's been driving the agenda. And just on Friday, I think he had a signing ceremony of his edicts or executive orders talking about nuclear. And he's going to blow all kinds of money on nuclear power, which is back in the news. So you probably have a lot to say about that, because France is supposed to be mm-hmm. a nuclear country
mm-hmm.
for power generation.
Yeah, that means they have a big influence with the Freemasons, and they get the money for free on the nuclear hoax. You know, they earn a lot of money on it.
Well, I think it's a hoax too.
Yeah.
But so what? Where do you think France gets its power then, if it's not from nuclear? Because officially, they're the most nuclear country, well, I believe, in the world.
Now I'm just talking off my head, but it's like, I would say it's probable that the French Alps, they are probably giving a lot of power to France, and they're harvesting energy in the mountains without us knowing it.
Mm-hmm. You think they literally just put an antenna into the sky?
No, I think they can use anything that's metallic in the Alps. They can use to get the current flowing. And France has got the most ski lifts in the world, you know, more or less. So it's probably they're able to get some something out of that. But that's just my speculation. It's not something I look deeply into. But it makes sense that when they do construct big installations made all out of metal in the high mountains, they could have a potential to gather energy that's very high.
Okay.
So I guess France, anyhow, it's like I think that they can now they claim to push electricity all around Europe they're selling it between every country in Europe. You know, it's a free market, so it's like they can push it whatever way they want. And the fact that France has such a big position is because they probably have engineered the system in a bigger way.
It says here that nuclear is 68 to 70% of your power from 56 nuclear plants. That's 5 plus 6 is 11. managed by Electricité de France, and allegedly you're creating new reactors. Hydropower is 10 to 12%, mainly from the Alps and the Pyrenees, and that's about it. So if it's not from nuclear, and it's not from coal, because it says you shut all your coal plants down like we did, question is, where is it coming from? And you say, well, it's all from the Alps.
Possibly. No, I say that the Alps probably contributes in some way, and they have a lot of installations like hydro dams and all that stuff too. I just drove through one of them actually a couple of months ago, Pierre Ponson, and it's incredible how big it is. And in the winter, it's like the water level like drops like 20 meters or something. It looks really horrible. It fills up, I guess, in summer. And it drops down in winter.
So it's a now lot here, of. Here are all your nuclear plants here on this map here. I'm going to put it on the screen. Sorry. There it is there. These are all the plants. You got one here, 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 up here. All kinds of them. And the question is, where are they? Are they all on? I think they always have to be on water as part
close
of the...
Close to a stream or sea.
Because the excuse is they need to cool themselves. So here's one on whatever this is. This is a river. That's the Rhone River.
Yep, that's a big river.
Mm-hmm. So they got a plant here and here. So it's all along the rivers. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for clues as to what it could be. What could it be? This one's way over here on the west. This is on just, I guess, an inlet from the ocean.
Yeah, that's close to Bordeaux.
Blaye nuclear power plant. We're just putting it into the ether. What could it be? That's not really the topic at hand, but we're just sort of freestyling today. Here's another one on this river. That is the Vienne River. Mm. You know that river? Vienne?
No. I know Le Rhône, but I don't know Le Vienne. It's
a big country.
Yeah, it's closer to Limoges and Angers. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you figure you're going to spend your whole life in France? Because you're originally from Norway.
Yeah, I am. I guess so now. It's like I'm getting older too. So it's like I do see the advantages of living in a very mild climate, which it is here in the south of France. It's a pretty good climate. We have a lot of local produce of fruit and vegetables and meats and everything. So it's like it's a good region to live in just for the quality of life, you know. And Norway is kind of much harder to live in the sense that we don't have a lot of greens and vegetables throughout the year. It's like a lot of it's imported, and the quality is mostly pretty not that good. So
and it's cold and dark.
I like to eat well. Yeah, it's like if you want to eat well, you need good produce. Otherwise, you can't make a bad produce taste very good. You know, even if you're a great cook, you need to have the produce of quality. If not, you cannot produce a good meal.
So yeah, Bob Precision said, France supposedly gave Saddam a nuclear reactor, the Osirak, which the Israelis subsequently bombed in 1981. What is the real story with that, I wonder?
So Osirak, you said you already have the word Oz. It's Oz. It's like it's a zoo. It's the fantasy. Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah, Oz, Iraq. It's the Wizard of Iraq.
Right, yeah. Iraq, it's probably an acronym, but it does look or sound like Iraq, the country as well.
And they use the acronym to make fun of us, because if what we contend is true, it's like it's a big scam and they know it. And it's such a big scam that many people are in on it. It's like it's a big business. So it's like they probably all have fun of the names they're giving the different.
Oh, so they did. Factories. They created a combination word between Osiris and the word Iraq. So it was there on purpose.
Yeah, and also Iris is the same. It's like they're using the same mythology, which is all fake, of course, too. It's like invented, too. It's like
that's the sun
Os,
god,
they
isn't
use
it,
it.
Osiris?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptian god.
So that's a bit of a joke that they were creating, is based on Babylonian Earth. I think that's what it said here. So they like to joke around. I'll put
Yeah,
a
I
link
think
to it.
yeah, I think language is pretty interesting in that sense. Is probably the languages we use, they are not as old as we think they are, and many of the words that we use we think are so old. It's not probably the case. So it's like a lot of things are encoded in the language we use.
Kate Emma says, over 30,000 particle accelerators, meaning an average of 156 for every single country in the realm, all smashing particles. Perhaps simple copper loops with magnets and battery, continual electric. What do you think of the perpetual motion machine where you just start it up and it doesn't stop?
Well, I don't think the answer is in the machine. I think we have energy in the air, which is why, you know, we can get our phone signals and everything. It's because it's energy in the air. So it's like it's just a matter of collecting the energy that's always in the air. So it's like that's probably why they dig in the ground and make us look at in the wrong places. The energy is not in an engine or in something far deep in the ground. It's in the air, and it's we need to capture it. That's all. That's why many some have theorized that maybe the all the electric lines, they are actually harvesting electricity from the air and channeling it into to the right areas for the electricity to be used there, you know. Because it's the current,
yeah.
It's a flux, you know. It's
alternating.
Yeah, and it's always there. You know, the problem is when everybody wants the same amount of power at the same time. That's where they have problems.
Yes, when everyone goes to turn on their tea kettle at halftime in the sports ball. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
maybe
why,
that's what the power plants are for. They're just to store the power in a flywheel or some other way.
Exactly.
And then they can re-release it
or
to keep the power even.
In pressurized water vapor, you know.
Right. So they use the power to
pressurize water vapor, and then they can release it when they need to.
Yeah, maybe that's what nuclear power plants do. They're just they're power eveners. They even out the power between supply and demand.
Yeah, but when you even out the power, you gain power because you create a stock of power.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because the energy grid is always receiving power. That's why we have power in the air. It's always there. So if you have a grid that can capture a lot of power from the air, and you can capture this capacity when it's not used, then you have a power. You know, you can use it whenever you want. You
right.
can release it during the daytime when people have more need for power and stuff like that.
Right, because So it's still in the air at night, and they could capture it there too as well.
Yeah, and it's there in the day too. It's like always fueling the current all the time, and the variability in the usage makes it necessary to have big stores of energy to release when it's called for.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
On demand.
And
yeah.
That's where I think nuclear facilities will be very useful and necessary, because you need to capture the extra current you will collect during the night and stuff, and you will have to use more current during the day. When all imagine how much current factories use. It's what normal people use is nothing compared to what factories and industry use.
No, I agree with that. That's why we made our all our industries were near Niagara Falls. Same idea.
Yeah,
I understand that. Well, yeah, when a plant wants to turn on, they have to call the operator of the grid.
So it's the same tactics they have all the time. They want individual people to think they are responsible for the production of energy. It's the, you know, what it costs to produce energy is what you pay for it. But I mean, the energy they have to produce for industry is like incredible amounts of energy. So the price that we pay for energy is like much higher than it should be. You know, that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. It's a scam. And it's the same for the environment. It's like people go around and think that we can change the environment by, you know, sorting our garbage and stuff like that. But it's like we pollute through industry, and our that's where we are polluting. You know, so if you want to pollute less, you just need to regulate industry. That's all. You don't need to have people throwing their batteries at one place or something like that. That's not really efficient.
No, I know it's a joke. It's a ritual. It's to get people thinking they're the problem.
To make them accept paying all those taxes for, because the religion today, it's Mother Earth. You know, we are living in an Earth religion. You know, everybody is, if you say it's for the environment, everybody agrees and they pay.
Yeah, that's why Prince or King Sausage Fingers created the Magna Terra. The Earth Charter, not the Magna Carta, the Magna Terra. I can't remember what it was called. I put it on a previous show, but it's basically a bill of rights for the planet, Mother Earth.
Yeah. For instance, when you draw something for a building permit, you today you need to draw every tree on the ground you're building on.
When we build around here, they have to put a special fence around some of the ugliest trees you've ever seen because they can't knock them down. They can't back into them.
Exactly.
It's absurd, actually.
We take better care of trees on the ground than people, you know.
Yeah, it's called the Terra Carta. That's what it was, the Earth Charter.
Yeah, Terra Carta is nice. Yeah.
Terra Carta.
Yeah.
To put nature, people, and planet at the heart of global value creation. So what it is, it's a tax system to make companies and whatnot pay for preserving ecosystems.
The big companies that all are owned by the same people, more or less. So it's like the ones that's going to pay in the end, it's the consumer. The big companies, they're making their money anyhow. It's like if they're not getting their money, they have to just have politicians change the rules to keep on making money.
Mm-hmm. There's also the Earth Charter, which is a global movement with 16 principles for a sustainable future, but that's not linked to the Terra Carta, but it's often confused. Okay, so I was confusing the two, but it's the same idea. Yeah, sorry, you were saying?
I was just agreeing with the fact that we have a cult of the Earth that's pretty intrusive. It's
well, people believe in it. That's why they sell it that way. Aardman
says, it's so widely accepted, you know.
Aardman says, yeah, it's definitely why. Except, well, people don't have religion, so they need to believe in something. And Aardman says they want to meter everything. Yeah, I don't know about Tesla tech. I'm not sure that's true or not. It might be a hoax. The whole idea of Tesla. What's your take on Tesla? Do you think that was a real person or that was a fiction narrative device?
Well, clearly he was one of the alternatives to the atomic power because he created not the atomic bomb, but he created the death ray that could explode the Earth from the moon or something. And they probably for a while they pumped him up for probably giving us a solution like for making a weapon that also could be energy and all that stuff. So, but they went with nuclear power instead of his proposition. And I think he was the same kind of figure as Edison and as Einstein and everybody else. I think those were, you know, they were created characters that was needed for the time at the time.
Well, I think it's they need characters to front for the military industrial complex.
Yeah, for sure.
It was called the death ray or teleforce. And it was supposed to be a particle beam capable of destroying 10,000 enemy airplanes at 250 miles. He believed it could end war by making countries invulnerable, likening it to an invisible Chinese wall. So, similar to the nuclear idea, that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying that was a competing idea, and they didn't go with it. So he was the guy that wasn't—he didn't get his ideas approved for full rollout.
Yeah. So who did they credit the nuclear bomb to? Was that Einstein, or who got the credit? Oppenheimer.
I'm not sure who they credited the bomb to, but yeah, ask Grok.
I'm going to. I think it was Oppenheimer.
You changed from Perplexity to Grok now?
Yeah, just for now. Well, I stopped paying for Perplexity because it wasn't working right. There were some issues, and then I'm not paying anymore. So I just switched to Grok for a while because I think Grok also allows me to draw pictures and whatnot. So I'm paying for Twitter or X. And I think because I pay for X, because I use it to stream this show, for instance, I have more people listening on X than YouTube. I don't know why, but I have 24 people listening live right now, even though this isn't even my normal time. So thanks, everyone, for joining X. By the way, if you want to get to my Twitter account, just go to shortfake.com/Twitter. I think it's Twitter or Twitter One. I think I've set that up. Otherwise, just search for Fakeologist over there. I do have a check mark, because I pay for it. And so they give it to Oppenheimer, and that was a horrible movie. And
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I watched that. It was a real letdown. But anyhow, my daughter wanted to go see that Cillian Murphy. I think she couldn't care less about the nuclear bomb. She just liked looking at that guy. But anyway, so I'll put that in the show notes as well. Yeah, I'm using Grok. It works.
Claude, have you used Claude?
No, what's Claude?
No, it's another AI engine, but it's I'm using Grok quite a bit now too, and Perplexity, as you have suggested too, I'm using.
Well, yeah, I just didn't like using the one that everyone else was using, and that's ChatGPT. I think they sort of started it off, but I just never got into it. But I use Gemini on my phone because I don't have to, because it's built into the Google phone. Because Google, if they don't push their own AI, they're going to disappear. So they have to be careful. So I use them all. I'm an equal opportunity bot person. I'm not afraid. I don't probably use AI as well as I could. I know you almost have to be an expert to use it effectively, but I do think if you don't figure it out, it's going to run you over. So I think you may as well embrace it.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm using it just sporadically. Like instead of doing internet searches, I probably use AI more now than internet searches.
Yeah,
it's been a while that internet searches has been very poor. Like the results has been very poor.
And yeah, I think they've been rigged. Yeah. Well, they're rigged by finances. People pay to get the top results, so it's skewed.
Yeah, and AI making it quicker to find things, I think.
Well, yeah, it does the bot. It does the searching for you. Now, Grok is kind of good because it usually puts sources. I'm just looking here. I don't see the sources here though. But Perplexity definitely puts the sources, so you can click on them. So I appreciate that. Dirty Benny. Hi, Dirty Benny. He says, no known video of Tesla. JohnLeBond.com. First hour is free. He deconstructed this. Yeah, that's true. That's true. John LeBond has done good work. Jungle Jim says, I joined a little late. What has Unreal been working on lately?
Well, as you know, Ab, nothing.
Well, that's why I want you to say it.
I haven't been doing much research lately. It's like I made a big effort on the map of Earth and this spring. So it's like it's a lot of energy you put into new research. Somehow it's like, so it's probably a bit burnout from that. So
Yeah. It's funny. I talked to Esoteric earlier on the audio chat, and yeah, the audio chat stopped broadcasting this morning. It's usually on Saturday and Sunday morning because that my internet conked out again this morning. It did all record, but I just want to let all my audio chat fans know that the broadcast was interrupted. And I will be able to recover it, though, on the backup, but I just want to let people know. So we definitely are having technology problems, so I won't use the primary internet link at my place until they figure it out. And I'm going to get a router that actually can figure out when it's not working and switch over to the other one, the backup. There's a little techno. Okay, we got Grok going crazy. I clicked on deep search and it's gone nuts. I'm gonna stop it here. There you go, stop. So it's pretty good. It gives all the links. At least they were on the bottom there. Oh, here it is. So on the bottom here is where they put some of the sources. Click on that. It's pretty good. On the right side, you can click the sources. I do like that. And what else? Boxes and Rico Fermi. Kate Emma says Tesla was completely coded. All sevenths throughout his story, and he was called a child of the light by his mother. Very Masonic. Esteban says Faco is a gentleman and a scholar and a good egg. Thank you. And Dirty Benny says Guy Anderson is another author who has deconstructed Tesla. Tesla and the Cabbage Patch dolls. That's funny.
I think what's important to understand about Tesla is, like, when you understand that the nuclear weapons were invented, Tesla came from the same movement to create something extraordinary. You know, he was an extraordinary, you know, researcher, so to say. And as you understand, some of the things that he pretended to have created, like the death ray and stuff like that, it sounds just childish, you know, when you read it now. So it's like he's completely overrated. And it's like a lot of people have pumped him up, but many of those people have, I think, had that as a task, just like they try to pump up cultural icons. You know, they try to make him a cultural icon, like, after the fact, you know.
Well, Elon Musk is sort of the modern one as well, isn't he?
Probably. I don't find him so brilliant. So it's like it's hard for me to judge. But you know, SpaceX and all that stuff. It's like I just think it's childish. You know.
It's boring.
It is. It is.
It's boring for fakeologists. It's all a big yawn. This idea that the launcher can grab the rocket out of the air and put it on its mount is crazy, crazy, crazy stupid.
But at the same time, it's like they have to give something to feed to the people that still believe that space is a vast territory to explore and stuff like that. It's like they have to give them something, but. Once you understand that it's not a big place, then everything gets focused more on what's happening on Earth, you know, because this is probably the most interesting space we have to explore, which is why I've been so interested in Earth and how come all our maps, you know, they miss a lot of territory, just of the construction of the map on a circular on a spherical surface. You cannot make a spherical map without cutting away territory, and which I've tried to prove they have done.
Okay, now I know I was distracted here. I was going to bring up on the audio chat this morning that Esoteric was talking about he doesn't like the idea that you talk about fake animals. So because he was getting all mad this morning, early this morning. He was because we were talking about he was talking about kangaroos and I can't remember what it was. I don't know why he was picking on your idea that you say some animals are fake, because then he was going on about kangaroos being fake or let me just see here. He was it was a story here. Let me just bring the story up here on kangaroos. I don't know how you got into the conversation, but he was really going on about this and that. A man was almost drowned by a really muscly kangaroo in Port Macquarie. See, this is where Rick lives, in Port Macquarie. So he was he was going on about this, saying, oh, I think a reel will probably say that kangaroos are fake. I don't think you've ever said that, have you?
No, but I think also to miss the point about fakery is to go all out on something and not even accept to discuss the idea that they fake stories with animals. And I haven't seen that story, but it could be a fake story. It's possible. And it's possible. It's like when you see bears in films, you know, it's like they are animated by puppeteers, you know, and they look real.
Okay, maybe this is what we were talking about here. This is a story about a kangaroo trying to drown a dog. Okay, so here it is here. Let's see if we can watch this. I didn't know kangaroos hung out in the water.
Well, they don't look like they're good at swimming with those short arms.
It says there's a risk that kangaroos have drowned dogs in water in the past. Okay, that's kind of stupid. All right, so this is the big thing that got Rick all excited earlier. I don't think there's a story there. It was just a kangaroo in the water. But I don't think you've ever said that kangaroos are fake.
No, and it's like what I've said, and it's pretty important for people to realize this, is the fact that...
Sorry, did you see the video or did I forget to play it?
No, you forgot to play it.
Oh, sorry. I didn't share the screen here. We'll watch it here.
Why doesn't he just get out? Then he gets a second wind.
Okay, there you go. It does look like a guy in a costume standing in the middle of the water.
And, okay. And even if that's the case, it doesn't mean all kangaroos are fake. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think that looks like a redacted story, you know? It doesn't look like happening in real life.
Right.
To me.
Well, that's what Rick was going on about. He said, oh, Unreal will probably say it's fake. But
I say, Rick, I'd say, why shouldn't that have been a guy in a suit to that acted that scene for the video?
Yes, it
does. It didn't look very realistic. I don't know. Do you think? Do you think it looked real?
Well, I've never seen a kangaroo other than in a zoo in real life. So I think Rick was just going on because he lives here, and he was saying because he lives there, he believes it or he's seen it. And there are real kangaroos that get hit by the vehicles.
Cars.
Because they have quite a few of them, and they just wander out on the highway.
Do they eat them?
Pardon me?
Do they eat kangaroos in Australia?
Yeah. He said you can get kangaroo meat. But normally they get hit by the cars that have roux bars on them, which are animal bars, so you don't destroy your front end of your car there. So I think maybe that was the story that Rick thought we would think is fake. So maybe it is. I don't know. So,
me neither. I have no idea. I just say it could have been, you know. It wouldn't be hard for a guy in a suit to make that film.
Dirty Benny says it could be AI generated as well. Yeah, could be.
Of course, yeah. And well, it's a lot of animal AI. I've been fooled by it myself. I've been looking at films about sharks, and some have been like really ridiculous. And I found out in the end that it was AI generated. So it was, that's why I found it so incredible.
And I guess Rick got taken. He listens to all the shows, and shout out to Rick. Hello. And he was just, maybe he was taken a little aback by the discussion we had last time about whales being fake. Not all whales, but a certain whale. The sperm whale or the blue whale, was it? Yeah. That's all that was being said.
But you see, it's like many people they cannot accept to discuss a subject that they refuse to believe can be they can be wrong on. And I can 100% guarantee that we can be wrong on things that we wouldn't expect to be wrong on. You know, so it's like it's not an intelligent stance to just be against the idea of some animals being fake just because you don't think so. That's not a good argument. And I've done a lot of research on grizzly bears and on blue whales and on sperm whales, and I can tell you I haven't found one that's real yet.
Okay. You don't think grizzly bears are real?
No. That's a particular type of bear that was discovered very late in the United States and now has been eradicated in a lot of counties. And I've never seen one true story about the grizzly death or a grizzly bear from my research, and I researched it.
What about Grizzly Adams? That was a TV show. Wasn't he wrestling with bears? Remember that?
What was it you say?
There was a guy named or a show named Grizzly Adams. Let's just check Grok.
Okay, the nature films.
No, there was a guy. Okay, Grizzly Adams refers to both a historical figure and a fictional character inspired by his life. Okay. John Grizzly Adams was a California mountain man and animal trainer born in Medway, Massachusetts. Originally a shoemaker, he joined the California Gold Rush. And then he retreated into the Sierra Nevada mountains. There he was known for capturing and taming grizzly bears and other wild animals.
Yeah.
And he performed with his animals, including a bear named Samson, which inspired California's state flag.
Right.
He lived near Yosemite Valley for a time before returning to San Francisco and later New York, where he died. His life has made him a legend. Okay,
And I think the theme of the grizzly bear and bears in general, it's a lot of people that are in on that a joke. And even the name is the raw bee. That's the bear, you know. It's a encoding for a raw bee. So the name is very problematic, and the fact that grizzly bears, they weren't discovered before 200 years ago, you know. So it's like very recent.
Parma Gianni in the chat says, I love the fake animal stuff. It sent me down a new rabbit hole. Pandas are unlikely creatures as a concept. Well, I think that pandas were bred by humans. I think they're real, but I think they're bred like certain dogs that would never survive in the wild. And I don't know what they're a breed of specifically, but you know that dog, the French bulldog?
Yeah.
You know, they can barely breathe and they just have terrible lives.
Yeah.
I think whatever that was made from was definitely a bad thing to do.
As we discussed last time, it's like one of the prerequisite for evolution is to constantly find new species and stuff. So it's like in some form or fashion, they need to find new species to prove that evolution is real, right? So most of the species they find, they're dead. So it's like nobody can verify them, but a lot of species are new too. So it's like it's a lot of cheating going on there to classify species as new species and all those things. And what you say is pretty interesting. It's like if they could breed dogs between them in order to get something that looks like a panda, why not use that as a new species? You know, that's a very good idea. They need new species. So if they could create it, breed it, they would do it. I would guess. And it's something, this is just speculation, right? But it's something into the king of the animals, the lion. The name is very fascinating. It's the lie is on, right? The lie is on. And what if the lion is actually a dog that they have bred to be really big, and they cut its pelt to have that big hair with the head, making the head much bigger, you know? That would be a way to have a new species out of something that you could control, you know, because you can control a dog, you know. That's why it's so funny why they are able to have these big animals that are so obedient, you know, in circuses and stuff. So it's like could that more or less be dog breeds too? It's like it's a possibility. Lions don't have cat eyes, you know. They don't have cat eyes that retract like cats. So it's like how they create new species is interesting because they need to create new species. So what you say about the panda could be some kind of a off-breed of some kind of dog or something. It could very well be so. Because when you look at the bear has the mouth of a dog, more or less. It just has a bigger head and a bigger body. But the snout, the trout, is just like a dog.
Mm.
That's probably how they constructed the fake furs for grizzly bears and stuff like that before. They took, you know, when they made, you know, the stuffed animals, they probably would use dogs as a model to model the whole bear around it.
Okay, that's interesting. It says here French bulldogs are bred despite their health issues primarily due to high demand driven by their popularity. Their adorable appearance, compact size, and affectionate personality make them highly sought after as pets, especially in urban areas. Breeders meet this demand, often prioritizing aesthetics and profit over health. And they're one of the top breeds, according to popularity. They can sell anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000. And they don't really breed naturally, so they need artificial insemination. And C-sections due to narrow hips. So they literally are making a breed that would never survive naturally.
That's interesting, huh?
For vanity. So this kind of goes with fake animal theory, I would say. Obviously, yeah, it's a real animal, but it's just a breed that's forced.
It's like you understand the fact that the zebra, it could also be a fake animal. It's like that could be a horse that they have been able to put some permanent paint on. You know, that's very possible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well yeah. Okay. Permanent paint.
They look exactly like horses, and they were used like horses when they first were discovered. You know, in London, the Rockefellers, they had their chariot driven by zebras.
Right.
So it's a very recent animal, and it's some incoherences with that animal. That's, you know, I've put them down in a forum thread. You have some images of zebras, you know, losing their paint and stuff like that. And you also have some details about how they are groomed, that in the wild, the zebra could not have that hair. You know, the hairstyle of a zebra is the hairstyle of a competition horse. It's not the hairstyle of a wild horse. A wild horse has long flowing hair, which the zebras also should have, but they don't. They have hair standing straight up on their neck, which is impossible without trimming. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, the tail is the same. The tail of the zebra is a tail of a domesticated horse. It's like tied. A true horse has long hair on the tail too. So it's like, but it goes into the same thing. Is like you said, they could breed dogs to become some kind of new species. And if they can't make a fake species, no matter how they make it, because they need to have more species for their evolution, you know? So they have to be in constant research about getting new species, dead species, living species. You know, they're always trying to accumulate the number of species, you know? It's a constant battle for the scientists. It's the same guys that goes out and find new dinosaurs every year in the desert, you know? They are on that path to find new species of animals, living and dead. It's the same people that does the same job. So, you know, even if you have a scientist that pretend to find fake dinosaur bones, why should we believe it when he finds a new snake? Why? It's the same concept. They make up new animals because they need to make up new animals. It's not because they exist necessarily. And all the animals that are noted in the world, of those animals, there are very, very few that we can go out and catch in nature. Very, very, very few. Very, very few.
I'm just showing on my screen right now the Fakeologist forums on Real Post there. Now, I'm being sort of bot attacked on the Fakeologist forums. As you can see on the bottom, it says there's 495 users online. Well, these are bots. And I limited the number of online people to 1,000, I think, maybe 600-700. And sometimes you can't get on. It'll give you a message. So you just keep trying. But there aren't really that many people online. It's just that we're being attacked all the time on the forums. You can see on the bottom there this number. So just giving people a heads up because Unreal does a lot of posting over here on the forum.
I did a lot of posting on the animals on the Fakeologist forums one, two.
Okay, so, that's right. Yeah.
I just posted some on the sharks and whales on the new forums, and Rachel has a great thread on unlikely animals too on the forums. Because you see, many of the animals that we suspect can have been faked, they are present in areas of the world nobody goes, like in the Antarctic and in the Arctic. You know, nobody can go there, so it's impossible to go and watch for them. And they're all on the endangered species list too. It's like if they're real, we're not going to be able to see them. You know, so
yeah. Can't verify. Dirty Benny says he saw the panda cubs in Chengdu, China, years ago.
Yeah. And you have to understand that the zoo is the same as a museum. It was invented more or less at the same time, and it's for the same purposes, to mislead people. And unfortunately, it's very probable that a lot of the animals in the zoo, they can be faked. And a lot of them are real, of course, because they're just like regular horses and birds and, you know. But a lot of the great apes are clearly faked, I think. So gorillas, I have no faith in. I think the gorilla is a completely fake animal, and it's played by men in furs. And it's pretty obvious once you start to look into the gorilla. You know, we found it very recently, and it's a big movie maker too. They make a lot of movies about them, and they do that in order to fool people. They're selling the story the same way they have a lot of dinosaur movies. It's to fool people, you know. They don't make movies just for fun, you know. They make movies because they have an interest for the general agenda for Earth. And are supposed to believe in nature. And with all those ecological people going around selling us a Mother Earth religion, it's even harder to understand that they're also faking animals, you know? And I understand why people are very much against it, because philosophically, it feels very insulting that they could do that. But they don't care about you feeling insulted, man. They don't. If they can fool you, they'll fool you. And if they can fool you well, they'll fool you well. And people have been well fooled, and they are getting more fooled now, because the possibility to fake stuff now is incredible. You know, with the automation and with the images and the you know, animatronics is like incredible. They have fake fish swimming around that looks like real. You know, it's very advanced.
I used to go to Disney World all the time. Lots of animatronics there. They're a lot, very expensive, very, very expensive to maintain, but yeah, for sure.
And just as, you know, they have had prototypes of U-boats since the 1600s, you know, so it's like, it's been a long time they have been inventing animatronics, you know?
Oh,
and I think mechanical ways to animate fish and boats and everything.
Okay. I think it started playing a video that was on on the forum screen here, that the Fakeologist forums one, you called it the ASH, the animal species hoax. I accidentally reloaded the page, and I think there's a video somewhere here that started playing.
Probably.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff here. People need to go and check this out. I put a link to it in the show notes. This is really good stuff.
Yeah, and as you showed the story with the kangaroo there, you know, it's like, just have people be aware that they can fake stories with animals in them too, you know, because they have a lot of people going around faking those stuff, that stuff, you know. So just be skeptical, even if it's an animal, doesn't mean it's real, you know?
So here's a couple articles where you're talking about this. A zoo is accused of painting a donkey and passing it off as a zebra. So we'll click on that, see if that link. Oh, the link is still there. This is from 2018. That's funny. That's funny, funny, funny. Where was the zoo? Cairo. Okay.
That's it's the same way that they make space travel for like the Chinese and the other continents now, because it's like it's a low cost industry now. So they have zoos in those countries too, and it's going to be worse, you know, than in the Western countries, you know.
Washington Post wants money.
Yeah.
So.
And there you see the tails. There you can see the tails. That's not natural, you know, the hair that's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
So the tails of zebras, they are mostly tied, and that's not occurring in nature. So it's was a long time ago, but the fact is that evolution needs more species all the time, and that's very important to remember and to also factor in how much fake material they have created just for the dinosaur. 1,200 fake species of dinosaurs, you know, that's a lot of work.
Parma Gianni says, Ace Ventura dresses up as mechanical animals to blend in whilst stalking out during investigation. I never watched that movie, but I like Jim Carrey. Where is he now? If you're on X right now, just drop a little hand wave in there. I don't really get too many comments from X. I'm just curious who is on X listening to Fakeologist right now, because I don't really have that many followers, so it always baffles me. There's 10 people on Fakotube right now, Fakotube watching. All right, well, we're about an hour. It was just going to be a general conversation with Unreal tonight. If you have any questions, you guys can leave them for Unreal. You can call in real quick. You can join the studio at shortfake.com/restream if you want to join the studio. Lori is on X. Okay, so you are on X. So X is working well for you. That's good. That's good that people are on X and listening in. I guess it's worth the investment, $11 a month. I pay. Thanks to the generous donors at fakeologist.com/donate. I do pay for certain services to get it to get the message propagated.
Restream is also a service you pay for, maybe? Or
I pay for Restream. It's $20 a month. I pay for three different web servers, because the forums, I put it on its own web server. So that way, if the main site goes down, you can still go to the forums, even though the forums is always under attack, which is another problem. But fakeologist.blog is also under attack, and it's on its completely different server.
So why is that, you think, that you have so much trouble with keeping your sites up at the moment, at the latest?
Well, I think Clues Forum is under attack too. So I think they could just, I think they might use AI just to create bots. I think it's really easy to create a bot now to just go after sites. And all they have to do is crowd the doorways to the site.
Yeah,
that's all.
Have you had a lot of appliances for new members to?
No. It's been pretty quiet. I would say it's been very quiet. Now, I don't pay for Cloudflare, which is a proxy for the site. I haven't needed to, but they're always asking for money as well. And Cloudflare is supposed to protect me from these bots, so it hasn't so far. At least whatever it's doing now, it's not working. I am on Cloudflare though, and I really don't know how to stop it. Like, for instance, today, this makes no sense. Today it says I've had 34,000 visitors on fakeologist.com. Obviously, that's not real. Those are bots. So it says here under attack mode. So it says here I can create a JavaScript challenge. Okay, so I'm going to do that. So we have under attack mode at fakeologist.com. I'll do that. And the forums, this is something new. And it says here today, okay, this is funny. The forums have had 556,000 visitors today. So I'm going to switch that to under attack mode as well. So I just found that. That must be new.
I would probably assume that you have more visitors on your website than on the forums regularly, or am I mistaken?
It's about the same, I think. So now it's on under attack mode. Let's see what that looks like. Let me see if I can bring it up here. So here's the forums. This is why you get this message here. Temporarily unavailable. So let me reload this page and see what I get. Oh, here we go. The verifying as a human. I like that, actually. Actually, most sites have that. I might have to pay for that. Okay, so I fixed it. Let's see if that works. So it's on under attack mode. And let's see about fakeologist.com now, because it's also under attack. Let's see. This is our website here. And, okay, verifying that you are a human. Okay, so that works. Actually, I might have to leave that on permanently. And here's our link to X. shortfake.com/X. And that brings you to my X page here. And, yeah. So there's all kinds of people listening on X. Thank you guys so much. There you go. All right. What's going on in France? Your Macron guy is still the president, I see, even though he supposedly lost.
Yeah, he has no power, more or less, in the assembly. But yeah, it's I'm not following closely politics, but
yeah. Are you still doing your architecture? You're still an architect?
Yeah, I am.
Is AI going to impact that?
Oh yeah, of course. Of course, it's you can create images much more easily now with AI, and when you do architecture, of course, you are trying to create what's going to be built. So it's very important to visualize those propositions. You know, so
yeah.
AI is clearly going to have a big impact, and it's going to be better for private clients too to be able to see much more what they are building. Very more earlier in the process, and it's having a big impact, of course. And 3D in general is having a big impact on the quality of architecture, also, I think. And it's like, I think it's more like everything is no more any local types of architecture around too much, because everybody knows what's being done everywhere else, you know. So everybody gets inspired by something that could be far, far off, you know. So it's like not much more local will reside, I would guess, in the future for architecture projects. It's going to be more and more globalized style.
Interesting. All right. So any other topics that you're interested in before we wrap it up? Any
I was very glad to hear that there are people that are also interested in fake animals, that they are able to hypothesize that this could be the case for in some cases. And it's I think that's a good discussion, and I like the fact that you also came up with that theory about breeding dogs maybe to become other animals. I believe in that. I think that those are real possibilities, as I think they really need to create animal species all the time to keep the evolution going. It's just like in space, they need to find new planets all the time, you know, to keep the dream of the universe going. So it's like, it's a continual psyop, you know. It's they cannot stop. They have to keep it going. They didn't stop with dinosaurs. They kept on going, and they made zoos, and they made, you know, the fantastic animals. It's a lot of them, I think. And I'm glad people are not too offended about the idea to discuss it, because I'm glad to be wrong about this. I just think it's a subject that should be discussed, because in some cases it's actually so, you know, it's like we have animals that are faked, you know, consistently.
Yeah, it's a fun. No one else really talks about it too much. I like the topic. I like all the topics event usually that I can get wrap my head around. Dirty Benny says, "What is Unreal's model for what was the purpose of the injection in 2020? Have we discussed that?"
Probably. I'm not a big specialist on the COVID, but I would say that it was kind of a world war. So I think it was more like a social experiment than anything else. I think it's. They already have access to our blood when we were children, you know. They always shoot us with like 50 shots in the United States, I think, before you're 12. So it's like, did they really need one more shot into people? I'm not sure about that. I think it was more like a closing down society. That was a big thing. I think that was mostly it was the effect of a war. It was a reset, you know, of kinds. And they used like... I'm not sure if the vaccine was the central issue. I think it was used as a way to make it the issue, but I think the real agenda was to close down society and have like the effects of a war, you know.
Yeah, I think they wanted to stop money from flying around the world for a little bit, slow the acceleration. That's what I remember that topic came up, because the currency printing and this needed to put the brakes on for a while. Maybe they had to rejig something as they could slow it right down. All the obviously all the transactions, everything came to a stop for at least a few days, if not a week or two. Even the price of oil, do you remember it fell below zero? So
I didn't
below zero for a couple of weeks. I think I got gas at 60 cents a liter, if I'm not mistaken, for a couple of days.
Wow.
Yeah, because the price of oil was almost, well, zero. So yeah. everything you were paying was tax. So they had tax on. I paid 60 cents a liter in tax because the actual product was zero, but I guess there was distribution still.
But, so I would say, like, just on a personal level, I would say that I was aware of the vaccines and stuff like that being not good for you, but it's like the COVID period still stands out as a really special time in my life, because everything just like stopped. Everything changed. It's like society closed down. It was like a war. It was like warfare, you know?
Yeah, it was awesome, actually. It was awesome in the sense that it was just so different. Such a different time. It did screw everything up for a lot of people. Yeah. Luckily for me, not much changed for me. Didn't lose my job. I didn't have to make a choice whether I was going to poison myself and still work. I would have definitely chose to stop working, though. I wouldn't have been very good financially, but I could have survived. I could have probably lasted a couple of years.
Yeah, so...
Everyone should have a nest egg of some sort. It would have been my retirement. I would have retired early. I would have had to get rid of everything and just live a very humble life, but I could have done it, I think. I think we all could do it, actually.
Probably.
Yeah, I have a website called allshotsclot.com. I don't really spend a lot of time, but anytime I follow a vaccine story, I've always put it over here because it's not really a fakeologist topic. Directly, because I really think this is a health and welfare topic, and I am interested in that, and I do gather stories that I like, and this one was an interesting one about SIDS and crib death. It used to be called crib death, and then they changed it to SIDS, and it looks like it really got going, if you click on this link, in the 50s. And this is the Midwestern Doctor. If you don't follow this guy in Substack, you should. This guy's great. And, well, it says it was since 1933. Nice number. The medical community has known that vaccines cause infant deaths. To conceal this, those deaths were renamed crib death and then sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS.
You see, that's painting over the cracks, because from the inception, they knew that inoculation and vaccines were bad. They knew it from the start. Didn't need to wait until the 1930s to know that was just poison.
Yeah. Well, they even said at the beginning, it's better to take a little poison than get the full poison. And they don't talk about poison anymore, but that was said at one point in the vaccine story, I believe.
Yeah.
Better to take a little poison now and get your body used to it than get whacked with the full Monty down the road. But of course, that's ridiculous.
Improve your immune system. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a really good article, but it really seems like things got going for vaccines in the 50s. And that's where so many of the people, at least in the U.S., were poisoned by the polio vaccine. And then they switched
it over.
Yeah,
but don't rule out all the chemical products they put on our food and produce, too. That's also a big influence on our health. That's poison, too.
Yes, yes.
And, well, yeah, polio is very much linked to DDT, you know, so it's like
I agree with that.
They go hand in hand.
No, you're right.
But I think, like with the COVID, I think we are all speaking about the vaccines, but I think it was a really big social experiment. And they closed down economies, they closed down countries. You couldn't fly anywhere. It's like it was horrible. So it was like a war, you know. So for me, the COVID, to answer Dirty Benny there, it was more about the war aspect of the possibility it gave them, you know. I don't think it was that much about the actual vaccine, other than it's a win-win situation, you know.
Well, yeah, I think the health emergency was the excuse to get it all going, because nobody would go along with it, and people are pretty defenseless when it comes to their doctors. They just don't have a clue.
Because in 2010, I was grounded for a week in Italy because no planes were flying anymore because of the volcano eruption in Iceland. So it's like they already tried to have some of these emergency situations occur, you know, naturally. And of course, I don't think there was a volcano eruption in Iceland when they closed down the whole Europe for the air travel. So that was another experiment, in my opinion. So it's like, just as they plan, you know, for pandemics and all that stuff, it's like they also plan how to shut down society. And I think that the big issue with the COVID was how they were shutting down society. I think they were very good at that. I think that's something they couldn't do in any other way, more or less, than how they implemented it. Because it's, except the war, nothing could be that pervasive. And it was really pervasive, even more so than the war, because it was all over the world, you know.
Yes. Uki says, wee-wee.
Wee-wee-wee.
And I think that's a loaf of bread there.
Yep. La baguette.
A baguette. Yes, I bought one today. We have baguettes here. And it was freshly made today.
That's good.
I'm still worried that the flour we have here is toxic. And I don't think it's toxic where you are I think they use glyphosate to dry it here.
Well, I'm into the health things too. So it's like I'm a believer in natural hygiene. So I think the body is the source that can heal itself, or suffer. And I think one of the problems we have with bread and all this stuff is not only like what's in the product; it's the fact that it's so finely milled.
Right.
So the scale of the elements that we get into our body is probably problematic too. Not only, you know, the wheat that you eat, but also the fact that it's so finely milled, you know.
So that gets right into our bloodstream, you mean?
Yeah, it's more difficult for the body to handle when it's so small, when it's so small particles.
I think it's the same with milk. When they homogenize it to make a consistently thin product. Same idea, where if there's normally has the curds in it, I suppose they're harder for the body to easier and for that, it to process. Yeah.
That's something one have to wonder about is the fact that to homogenize it, they need to be able to have watery and fatty molecules stick together somehow. So I'm not sure how they make that naturally, you know. So mostly you will have to have some kind of enzyme to do that, but it's probably already present in milk. So I think when they filter and process the milk, it's probably some of what's disturbing for our digestive system. And I think our digestive system is very important for overall health, you know, that's working, you know.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, I guess so you're sort of withdrawing from Fakeology a little bit over the summer. I guess it's a good time to be out and about.
Yeah, it's as I said, it's like I'm getting into research like per phase. So it's like when I get inspired to or when I feel I figure something out, I need to pursue it, and that's when I would be very active on the forums and stuff like that, when I have something that's coming about. And it's it can be intensive, so it's like some periods, like now, is like you say, it's a nice out. It's a good climate where I live now, and it's great to enjoy life, really.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, it was good to get in touch. So why don't we leave? We won't reschedule for the summer because it is a good time. But I think maybe we should just leave it that sometime in the summer we can reconvene and just get an update on France. And of course, if anything exciting comes up or something that you're researching, you can let me know.
I will.
And then we can start looking into it if you want.
Yeah.
And discussing it. Of course, you can always come to the audio chat if you want anytime.
Yep.
You're on there. You're on the Discord, so you can easily just zoom in there.
Yeah, I can. I hope to do so in not too long. So, yep.
All right, that's great. Well, thank you everyone for joining in, and a pretty big show today for a Sunday. I know I announced it. If you want to see when the next shows are, the only thing I'm going to update now is the Google Calendar, and that's at fakeologist.com/live. And where is that? I think it's on, where is it here? Somewhere here. Well, you can just type in at the top, just fakeologist.com, and just type it in live. And that gives our live show page. That shows where to connect, audio streams, FakeOtube, and DLive, YouTube Backup, X. And here's the calendar here. So I did have Unreal in the calendar.
Oh, okay. I should have gone and seen that. I was a little bit confused about when we were getting together again. So sorry for that.
Oh, it's no big deal. It's no problem. I'm very flexible, and I was having super internet problems anyway, so I didn't even think I would be able to solve it, which I really didn't, so I had to order another router, and we're going to see if that fixes the problem. And so there's always the calendar here. On Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, we just have our regular lineup, so they're always, that's a recurring item. If the show is canceled, I just delete it. So, see, tomorrow is a blank day, so we may or may not come by on Monday. And Friday is always a day off. And the audio chat is over here. That's a recurring show as well. So you can always look at the Google Calendar. You can add this Google Calendar to your own Google Calendar profile. You know, you can have multiple calendars overlaid on your own Google Calendar. That way, you can keep track of other people's calendars. It's pretty cool. Even though I'm not a super fan of Google, certain things they do have that do work. I know there are other calendar programs, but they usually cost money. And everyone has a Google account, so I may as well use it, just like pretty much everyone has a Microsoft account and a Facebook account. Now, I don't have a Facebook account, but I do have a Google account. So that's where you find it. And here are all the other links on there, and the phone numbers, the donation. You can go over here to SpeakPipe, and SpeakPipe over here on the right, You can send a message if you want. And yeah, these fake links are out of date. I got to fix that. We now use shortfake.com for all our shortening links. All right, Unreal. Have a great summer. And everyone liked your conversation. You've been on the Fakeologist for a long time, and we're certainly happy that you're still around, because not everyone sticks to it, do they? Some people come and go.
Yeah, it's it can be hard sometimes to keep looking into new research and new theories. At some point, you get exhausted, I guess. So, yep.
Well, I still read the news, and they're still pumping out the fake local stories as well. We've had a lot of drunk driver stories where they wipe out a whole family. We've had two now. I don't know what. I guess they want to just highlight that. I know people are out there driving drunk. I don't doubt that. But man, do they ever have to create a dramatic story to bring their case
forward? What
about
murder stories? Do you have a lot of those, like families being wiped out too? Like the father shoots his children and his wife and himself.
Not lately. Not that much. Not lately, but I do watch YouTube where they have a couple cop shows where they're using the body cams and the dash cams.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the body cam shootings are fake. Now, I've shown Fake News Phil that, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of blood flying, and they show the bullets supposedly hitting the people. So, and they come out within a week. I figured that if you did capture all that on video and there was going to be some kind of investigation, it should take a little longer for the video to come out.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. So if you want to go watch that on YouTube, they don't always blur it out either, which is very strange. So maybe that's the replacement for mass murders. They just use these body cams.
Yeah.
And they're very clear. Very clear video. Wow. So check it out.
Yep.
All right, Unreal. Have a great summer. Say hi to France and au revoir.
Au revoir.
See you. Take care. Bye-bye.